Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 476th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Hi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 476. It's going out to my little puppy dog, Lula, who turns 10 years old today. So this goes out to the little furball known as Lula. Thank you for coming to the show. We are back in your ear holes after after a Christmas break, but there was no break. We were in your ear holes on Christmas Eve. We were in your ear holes on Christmas Day, maybe even in your eye holes as well. We're back with another non-UFC event because UFC is shut down for a few weeks here, basically a month. But we're doing a big one, a traditional big Japanese New Year's Eve MMA event. Used to be a bigger thing back in the days of Pride, but Ryzen's still putting on a pretty fun-looking card. And it's going down, as I said, New Year's Eve. If you're with us in the East Coast, it'd be 1 a.m. the day of New Year's Eve. So the 30th night, perhaps you may think of it as, but it's technically 1 a.m. on the 31st. So anyhow, we're going to break down all of that. I'm going to bring in the man who is the king of all these regional picks. Sounds like he did pretty good with the picks for the events we've covered already. But I think the pressing question I have for Gumby Vreeland is, how was your boxing day, Gumby?
Oh, phenomenal boxing day. Yeah, I don't even slightly know what you're supposed to do on boxing day. But I will say, in terms of the picks we've done so far, obviously Octagon hasn't happened yet. But if you're listening to this before Octagon's happened, make sure you go back and you listen to our prelim and our main card episodes. We gave you 10 picks on those. Lots of fun underdogs there too. But went 1-3 on Uriah Faber's A1 combat. Not too happy with that. A couple of fluky knockouts and low fight IQ stuff. Plus the main event got canceled at the last second, and it wound up that was another fight I felt pretty good about, and it fell off. Then we had a little fun with Samurai Fight House. Went 3-2 on Samurai Fight House. Pretty good there for some tough regional prospects. And then I swept the board on Prank Pancrase, with the exception of one weird draw. There was a draw in the first of the five fights we broke down, and then I swept the other four. So overall, that puts it at 8-5 on the week with a draw, 8-5-1. And we're up 13 or 14 units on the year on regional MMA.
Fantastic. Did you get to watch any of these events or bits and pieces of these events?
I watched a little bit of A1 combat. Pancrase was kind of hard to track down. I watched some of Samurai Fight House after the fact because there was some nice knockouts, and they're on YouTube, so they're super easy to find. But I watched some of A1 combat because I had interviewed a couple of the fighters on the show, wanted to see how they did. And one of them scored a 30-second knockout, Jacob Rosales, who I talked to about having a shattered leg when he fought on Contender Series, which is a pretty damn wild thing to do. Now that he doesn't have a, severed leg and a
shattered leg.
Yeah, and he's fighting in the right weight class. He's actually he looked great. So maybe more from Jacob Rosales in the future.
Amazing. Did anyone stand out in any of these events? Like, oh, okay, that person's a prospect to keep an eye on.
Rosales
surprise you?
I mean, Rosales has kind of always been right about there. But yeah, apart from that, I know some people are high on Caldar off of A1, but right. I'm not real big on him either. And you know, like a couple of the ones on Samurai Fight House were, you know, we said they were kind of in fights that were supposed to hype them up as prospects, and they were fighting people they should crush, and they, guess what? They crushed them. So I don't know that their stock went further up in any of those instances.
Was Calder the guy with someone on YouTube was saying he was guaranteed a win for Calder?
Yeah. Shout out to whoever
whoever said on YouTube.
Yeah, whoever called me out on YouTube and told me my pick sucked and then was right. You know, shout out to you.
Yeah, good job making Gumby look bad. Gumby and I have changed our outfits since last we recorded. We wore the same outfit for a week, and now we've changed. I have a brand new Phoenix Suns hat, even though they totally suck.
Hey, by the way, my pick on, we were talking when we did an underdog advertisement last week, or maybe that might have been Monday. Monday show, you asked me for an underdog play I liked. I said Luka Doncic is higher than on his points against your Suns.
Right.
I said he'd probably go for 43 or 40. I said he'd probably go for 43 or 44.
50. He showed you up. He said, hold my beer.
Yeah.
What's on the hat today? It's a bird, perhaps?
It's a goose. The Beloit Skycarp. Which is a minor league baseball team. I got this one for Christmas. Shout out to my brother.
All right. Where is it? Benoit?
Beloit? Beloit Skycarps?
Where's Beloit?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look that one up. It's brand new.
I'm sure we have some. It's in Wisconsin, apparently. We have listeners there, probably. Yeah. No, Skycarp. Skycarp's not a real thing, right?
It's just a goose, but he is holding a wrench. Like a goose. He is holding a wrench too, which is also kind of fun.
it's a working goose. Yeah, he's holding a wrench and he has a scarf around his neck. Yeah. Or is that just a
no? That's no, it's a scarf. It's a scarf.
Yeah, no, I mean, is that a wrench or just a stick? But no, I think minor league baseball is the best.
It's definitely a wrench.
They're all out of their minds. These people. It's fun.
Yeah.
Too bad. Great advertising. The fun goes away once you hit the big leagues. No fun once you hit the show, but
a little bit less.
Yes, a little bit less. All right, we're gonna talk some Ryzen. Let me think. Was there any? I don't think there's anything interesting that's happened since we last recorded.
Manon Fiorot is gonna fight Aaron Blanchfield, which is both a sick fight and kind of a bummer.
Yeah, I wish they wouldn't. Like, there's no reason to do that. You can just keep them apart, and then you have a prospect ready to fight for the belt no matter who wins the title fight.
I think it means that they're definitely going to the trilogy fight with Grasso and Shevchenko, which is kind of a bummer.
Oh, they love doing that, don't they? That's their jam. Easiest matchmaking ever. Let's just keep doing it.
At least it was a draw last time. You know what I mean? Like when somebody loses the second fight, you know, whether it's 1-1 or 2-0, you know, I don't usually want the trilogy. This one was at least a draw, so I get what they're doing. Doesn't mean I like it. Doesn't mean I like Blanchfield waiting. But hopefully she gets a pretty good payday in what is kind of a hometown fight for her anyway, too. Because it's going to be in Atlantic
City. When and where? Atlantic City. Okay. And when?
End of March.
Okay. And then when would the title fight be? Is one of the two hurt?
I haven't heard anything about when either of those two fight. I mean, there's a possibility that Grasso is just hurt and they're holding her till June. And this fight maybe is for the number one contender, and they just wanted somebody to fight before, you know, Grasso and June. So I don't rightfully know. Yeah. But you know, I've not heard any even rumblings of that flyweight title fight.
Right. I think actually since last time we've got our first UFC 300 bouts announced too, since we talked last time. So
Cody Brundage.
Cody Brundage is being served up to Bo Nickel. So
no, it's high fight IQ Cody Brundage though. It's different.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
High fight IQ Cody Brundage is a different animal. We got to watch out for that.
It is a different animal. Yeah. Aljamain Sterling makes his featherweight debut against Calvin Kattar. That is a tough man to make a debut against, isn't it?
It's a sick fight though. I don't know if Kattar can deal with his wrestling. It's going to be real interesting.
Yes, and then the off mentioned, but it was canceled, but now it's back on. Yuri Brohoshka, Alexander Rakic. Another good fight.
Yeah, really good one.
These are all probably going to be like undercard fights too. By the time all said and done, possibly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's possible. I mean, like they tried to do three title fights for UFC 200. You got to imagine they're going to do at least three on this one.
Yeah. Yep. You got it. Maybe a super fight on the top, Gumby. Maybe Conor McGregor can fight.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep. Now that I don't run a site that relies on clicks, I really don't care if he comes back. before it was like, well, at least he's good for business. But now that I'm on the subscriber model, like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But whatever. Come back, don't come back. I don't care.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about him on here. So yeah. You guys can enjoy
it. I guess we'll get more downloads. We'll get more downloads. And thank you to all the sickos who are watching and listening to all our regional shows.
The Octagon ones are doing amazing. Thank you guys.
I know. It's good to know there's enough of you weirdos out there. Not our boy Dredney. He won't be hearing me dog him here because he doesn't listen to the non-UFC episodes. He has admitted. So he's not a real fan, but nonetheless, we are getting good numbers there. So thank you for everyone for listening to that. All right. I killed enough time to get to the first ad read, and then we're going to get into Ryzen. It was all part of my master plan, Gumby. I'm going to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. As the people on YouTube see, there it is on the screen. Gumby and I are synced up here. Underdog Fantasy has a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, hit it with the Luka Doncic one on a recent episode. Are you going to hit us with another winner?
Yeah, I like on Thursday, because you're probably not going to get this by the NBA games on Wednesday night. On Thursday, I like Cade Cunningham's higher than on his points, listed at 23.5. I had him as higher than on his points on Tuesday, and he went for like 41. Doesn't matter if the Pistons aren't winning, he's going to be scoring buckets. So, count on Cade Cunningham.
They definitely aren't winning. That's definitely.
Did you see the stat out there that the Diamondbacks have won more recently than them?
Yep. Yep. The Rangers have won. Rangers have two wins. Rangers have as many wins as Detroit does since Halloween. It was the stat I saw as well, which is wild. Because baseball's been over for months and months. So anyhow, watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over on Underdog's mobile app or website underdogfantasy.com. And when you sign up with the promo code SGPN, naturally, not the naturally part, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. It's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. All right, Ryzen, were you a big watcher of Japanese New Year's Eve MMA, or were you too young for that?
I think I was too young for that. I did usually get the, this is going to date me a little bit too. I'd go to
VHS Hollywood
Video and I'd get the VHS tapes.
I thought it was at a Chinese restaurant was where you got your videos from.
Oh, there was also a video store right next to the Chinese restaurant. Yeah. Red Apple is the name of the Chinese restaurant. Still there.
Oh, fantastic. Everyone go hit it up and you can get a little slice of Gumby. You can live the life of Gumby. So yeah. Used to be the big thing. Fedor would either be fighting Big Nog or a sumo wrestler or a pro wrestler or
a sumo wrestler here.
Kickboxer or yes, we have a sumo. So yeah, it used to be a spectacle, but there also would be, some insane fights as well. That was Pride, but hey, the Pride guy is running Ryzen. So here we go. Saki Kibara is running Ryzen. And they have a pretty solid fight card here. 15 MMA bouts and one kickboxing belt. We're going to hit you with a choice of our 10 favorite or Gumby, the 10 that Gumby wants to make plays on. We're going to hit you with the first five today, and then tomorrow will be part two, and we'll hit you up with the last five fights. Another good positive thing, odds for this card are already out there. I know people were trying to get Samurai Fight House odds, and they couldn't find any. Octagon odds are out there as well if you're listening to our Octagon episode. But yeah, Ryzen odds are at least on Betway. They have the odds posted on Best Fight odds right now. Bet Online tends to have odds for everything too underneath the sun. So
my bookie, I'm pretty sure, has Ryzen ones too right now.
All right, cool. There you go. So the odds are out there. Like I said, we're going to break down. They don't really have a main card prelims. They have a couple intermissions on the fight card on the night. And so we're just kind of going from the bottom of the card up to the top. We're going to start with Tanabe Enzai. Does that sound right, Gumby? I didn't go through all the fights with you, but I believe
you're right.
All your instructions.
Well, welterweights.
Welterweights, Igor Tanabe from Brazil versus Shinso Anzai from Japan. 3 5-minute rounds at welterweight. You've seen the odds, I assume?
I have,
presume? Okay. Anzai is an animal. He is 11-5 with 7 knockouts. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once. This is his Ryzen debut. He's lost 2 straight fights and only won 1 of his last 4. He has not won since September 2019. He went 2-2 in the UFC, so you may recognize his name from there. 0-1 in Bellator. Used to fight at middleweight and light heavyweight. Now he's down at welterweight. Was a regional champion, 2009 pro MMA debut. Very sizable dog here, plus 300. Tanabe, Fat Ninja is the nickname. Fantastic, right?
Fat Ninja.
Yeah, did you not know that, or did you?
I didn't. He's also not fat.
Yeah. Fat Ninja, and it's all one word too, which as an editor and a writer, it offends me, but yet it's also funny. So Fat Ninja is the name. I don't know what that translates to in Portuguese, but perhaps it translates to Fat Ninja. He's 4-0 with 4 submissions, so he maybe is ninja after all. 2-0 in Ryzen, used to fight at middleweight, 15 years younger than Anzai, 5 inches taller, minus 450. The 15-year gap is not the biggest gap we have in this fight card. Just
I know. I was just going to say that. I think we got another
There's someone older than me fighting tomorrow.
Yeah.
Only a few months older than me, but older than me nonetheless. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. So the interesting thing about this one is Anzai, if you remember watching him in the UFC, a couple of very clear things about him. His boxing, not super sharp, but kind of powerful. He kind of throws rock'em sock'em robot punches and punches when he gets close. It's largely just so he can get to his wrestling, which has always kind of been his bread and butter. Not much of a submission threat, but like definitely like a wrestling top game ground and pound threat. The big change between now and when he fought in the UFC is being much older, right? He's like 38 now. His cardio is kind of shit. It's kind of gone to hell. And when you're a guy who relies on wrestling as much as he does, that's a big issue. So I'm out the gate already thinking about fading Anzai on that fact. And then when you look up Tanabe, and Tanabe was not a guy I was super familiar with, especially with only 4 professional bouts in his career. He is an absolute wizard on the mats. He's super, super, super sharp, whether he's on top or on bottom. He gets submissions from seemingly everywhere, like triangles, leg locks. He's got a long list of grappling accolades that you could run down and are certainly a reason to care about him. And the piece that makes me even more clear that I want Tanabe in this fight is that I don't think Anzai can get close to him. Anzai, like I said, kind of has to be in that like rock'em sock'em robot range to land anything. Tanabe is very long, considerably longer than Anzai. He uses like a push kick to keep range. And then anytime he's going to be on the inside, I would not be surprised to see Tanabe, just grab a hold of his arms and just fall back into guard. And he'll have a submission in no time. So yeah, I like Tanabe here. I think, he either just, picks Anzai apart from range, or when Anzai gets frustrated, he winds up winning a grappling exchange here.
Okay. Rock'em sock'em punches and bunches is one of your best lines you've said, Gumby.
Thank you.
Very good. I probably should have said this off the top of this, just telling you how strong a fight card we are dealing with here. Just the 5 fights we're covering today, which are kind of lower down on the card. We have 2 UFC veterans, a tough veteran, a Dana White Contender Series veteran, a couple of Bellator veterans, and a silver medalist in Olympics in wrestling. So pretty solid card, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, even better than 1, dare I say. All right, we're moving on up to 134 pounds, of course, natural weight class. So bantamweight is technically what it would be. Shinobu Ota from Japan versus another fellow Japanese fighter, Ryusei Ashizawa. 3 5-minute rounds, bantamweights. Ashizawa, he is 0-0, Gumby. He's making his debut here. However, 25-13-1 in kickboxing and a champion of that realm. So he's got a little bit of experience under his belt, but this is his MMA debut. This is classic Japanese MMA New Year's Eve style stuff. Having a newbie come in. 2 years younger than Ota, 4 inches taller, plus 500, so even bigger odds. Ota, 4-3 with 3 knockouts. He's been submitted once. All of his fights have taken place in Ryzen. He's gone 3-1. He did lose his last match. He is a silver Olympic medalist in wrestling. He is also a world championship winner in wrestling, minus 1,000. So we got kickboxer versus a wrestler. Like I said, classic Japanese MMA Which style reigns supreme type of thing.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing about Ota. So, first of all, insanely good wrestling, even in the MMA sphere. I watched him in one fight. He had double overhooks. He basically didn't have a good clinch position, and he threw the guy over his head and turned his hips and wound up in guard anyway. One of the more insane like takedowns I've ever seen. But also, like, let's talk about his record for a second. He's 4-3 in MMA, despite being a silver medal wrestler. And he's fighting in Japan, a place where, you know, we've seen a couple of nice wrestling prospects coming up, but the majority of the base in Japan is not usually wrestling, right? Like, we've seen a couple come to the UFC, you know, the Shin Haraguchis and of the world and such. But, like, most of them are kickboxers or karate, or we see some, you know, taekwondo once in a while. But, like, you know, this is usually a place that relies on striking arts, and we're seeing a wrestler come in, and he's still only 4-3. Which is a huge alarm for me because I really don't like what his striking looks like on the feet. And not only is he facing a striker, he's facing a well-traveled striker who throws really well from range. He's got good low leg kicks. He really, really, really likes a step-in knee, either to the body or onto somebody trying to shoot a takedown. Because here's the other thing too. While technically he doesn't have a pro MMA bout, he does have a special rules bout in Ryzen that did allow takedowns. And in doing so, he scrambled pretty well in that one fight where he faced takedowns. Now, granted, not against somebody like Ota, but he scrambled pretty well. I also just think the difference in the striking here is good enough that I really like taking a swing on Ashizawa here, plus 500. Ooh. I'm not saying he's, you know, like gun to my head pick. I'm not probably taking Ashizawa, but a guy who's 4-3 and has kind of not shown that his wrestling can actually reign supreme in any real way. Versus a guy who can really piece him up on the feet. I just hope it stays on the feet for a little bit and maybe he catches one of those knees.
Who doesn't like a step in knee? All right.
Yeah. I do love a step in
knee. Yeah. Come on. who doesn't? Bigger, younger striker. Of course, I'm on board for this pick. I'm be right, so, right. Sure. Why not?
And at those odds, too. Like, again, like you don't have to sit here and tell me that Ashizawa is the much better fighter, but like, clearly worth it at that price.
Yeah, definitely. You know what else is worth it? What am I transitioning to? Hall of Fame bets. That's what's worth it. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. No more limes. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I forgot to mention real good news. You haven't cut out once audio wise this episode, Gumby.
So that must mean none of the
I have new viewers, earbuds.
The viewers probably won't hear a damn thing then.
No, that's true. I have new earbuds in, so that could be the case. My other earbuds I decided to put in the washing machine. That wasn't a good idea. Nice.
I was going to ask if they were Christmas presents, but no, you just needed new ones.
I had to get this. I couldn't wait till Christmas. I needed my earbuds. All right. Where are we moving to now? We got through a couple kind of squash matches. Okay. We got a close one coming up next. Actually, I forgot to mention this guy. This is another UFC veteran. So we have three UFC veterans on this fight card. I forgot all about this man. All right. This is another 134-pound fight. So a bantamweight fight. 3 5-minute rounds. Yuki Motoya from Japan versus Vince Morales from the United States of America. How can I overlook him? All right. Morales Vendetta is a nickname. 13-7. 7 knockouts. 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. This is his Ryzen debut. He's won 2 straight fights. Before that, he lost 2 straight. His last 3 wins have all come via finish. He went 3-5 in the UFC, 2-0 in Bellator, 0-1 on Contender Series. Used to fight at featherweight, was regional champion, a year younger than Motoya, 2 inches of reach on him, plus 1-10. Motoya, 34-11, 8 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 10-6 with 1 no contest in Ryzen, 6-1 over his last 7. He won his last fight via TKO. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. He's at minus 150. All right, Gumby, what you got for us?
So for me, in watching Montoya's recent fights, I just don't like how afraid of his opponents he looks. Whether against Miu Asakura or against... the other Asakura. Kai Asakura. Against Kai Asakura, he just backed his shoulders all the way back up to the cage and would look for a strike or a bum rush to get a takedown or like... But there was no intent on anything he was doing. And that to me is a huge alarm here, especially fighting somebody like Vince Morales, because Vince Morales, you know, you're going to see the record. You're going to see what he did in the UFC and you're going to write him off. Right. That's probably the only reason he didn't come in here as a favorite. Usually you see UFC veterans come in as favorites, but his record kind of stinks. And let's face it, his record doesn't stink because he's not good. Look at the dudes they forced this man to fight. It's incredible. He fought like a who's who in the UFC. You know, he fought Gutierrez. He fought Jonathan Martinez. Like, he fought like, if you were a tough bantamweight, it seems like this guy fought him. And you know, he comes forward at all costs all the time. You know, I think about that Jonathan Martinez fight where, or was it the Gutierrez fight where he got TKO'd with the leg kicks? He just kept coming forward. And yes, he ate a whole bunch of leg kicks in return. And he fought guys who can outstrike him in those fights. But I just don't think Motoya is that. I don't think Motoya is going to give him anything that's going to stop him from continuing to move forward and hit those. I also think Morales just has enough grappling defense that Motoya's takedown attempts won't work. Because Motoya has, you know, he's got pretty sharp jiu-jitsu. I actually like Motoya's jiu-jitsu quite a bit. I just don't like his ability to get it there. He seems like one of those guys who, when he tries a takedown attempt, he doesn't chain anything together. It's like a body lock, or it's a single, or it's a double. And as soon as it doesn't work, he's out. Or as soon as it doesn't work, you know, somebody sprawls out on him, he's on the bottom, and that's it. And I think Morales is good enough to stuff the singular attempts. I think his forward pressure is going to play up. So I like back-to-back dogs here. Give me Vince Morales.
Woo-hoo. All right. I had a feeling. I thought you liked Vendetta in the past when we have spoken about him. All right. Let's go with some more UFC and tough veterans, shall we? This is a flyweight fight, 126 pounds to be exact, 3 5-minute rounds. Hiromasa Ojikobi. I haven't got to say Ojikobi for a while. Versus John Dodson.
It ends in O.
Ojikobu. Excuse me. It's funner to say Ojikobi, but Ojikobu. Correct. I'm going to tell you about Ojikobu first. I've never got to say Ojikobi. That's why I wanted to say it, I guess. He's 25-8-2. 1 knockout, 6 submissions. He owes us a finish or two. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 7-4 in Ryzen. He's lost 3 straight fights. Before that, he won 5 straight. He's not won a fight since December 2021. Used to fight at bantamweight and featherweight, 0-1 in Bellator. Multiple regional championships on his...
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. He went 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. Do you remember who he lost to?
Yeah, he lost to Tim Elliott in the finals.
And there you go. Correct, correct. 2006 was his pro MMA debut. 3 years younger than Dodson, plus 200. The magician, John Dodson, 24 and 13. 11 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. That is a pretty crazy stat, even for a flyweight guy. 2-0 in Ryzen. He's won 3 straight fights and 4 of 6. He's not lost since October 2021. Used to fight at bantamweight, 10-7 in the UFC, 3-0 the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of his season. 2004 pro MMA debut. He also was a bare knuckle fighting championship champion. 2 inches reach on Ojikobu, -275. So a couple fighters kind of headed in the wrong directions. A couple of veterans headed in their different directions here.
Yeah, so I want to start off by saying I'm a big Hiro Ojikubo fan. I think Ojikubo is super tough and is one of those guys who can be a tough out for everybody because A, he's tough, and B, he's one of those guys who can sort of just out-wrestle you and win a fight. You know, the Kai Asukara fight sticks out, or at least the first one between those two, where it was like nobody gave Ojikubo a chance in that fight. And what did he do? He went out there and he hit him with like 10 takedowns and won that fight. That being said, I don't think you can do that to Dodson. I think Dodson's way too dynamic. I think if you go back to Dodson's time in the UFC, and has he lost a step? Probably. He's probably lost a step since he was in the UFC. But this is a guy who is just A, so fast his entire career, and B, wicked hard to take down. His fight that they released him after, or at least they had a contract dispute, right? That's how he left the UFC. He fought Mirab Dvalishvili. And in that fight, he lost the decision to Mirab, and Mirab went 2-20 in takedowns. And that's really all you have to know about John Dodson and his fighting style to like him against Ojikubo. I just don't think Ojikubo can get him down for any kind of sustained amount of time. And I think he is badly outmatched on the feet. So I kind of hate to say it, but give me Dodson on this one.
Why do you hate this? Oh yeah, you said you
like, because I just Ojikubo. Yeah,
Ojikubo. Yeah, I think I remember that too from past discussions with you. All right, let's go to the last fight we're going to cover on this episode. We're going to have part two tomorrow for you. Don't worry. This is a fun one. We got a sumo wrestler main event. Not a main event. Excuse me. A heavyweight fight. 3 5-minute rounds. Taiyoshi Sudario from Japan versus Mikio Ueda from Japan as well. Ueda is 2-1 with 2 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, so he owes his rounds. 1-1 in Ryzen. He's won 2 straight fights, both via finish. They're both, I believe, doctors or referee stoppages. I think actually doctor stoppages they were. 1-0 as a kickboxer, plus 163. Sudiero, also known as Takano Fuji Sanzo, as one would also be known as on occasion. He's 8-2 with 7 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. So he's been finished in both his losses. He's gone the distance once. So this man owes us some finishes. 8-2 in Ryzen. So all the fights have taken place in Ryzen. He's won 2 straight fights in 5 of 6. Won his last fight via TKO. He is a sumo champion that's transitioned over to MMA. 2 years younger than Ueda, an inch taller. And based on their last weigh-ins, he was 20 pounds heavier, -225. So you've been teasing about this sumo guy. Tell us about him.
Yeah, I do love Sudario. The only time he's kind of bummed me out is when he didn't use any grappling to fight, which was one of the Junior Tafa. He didn't use any wrestling to fight Junior Tafa. But this is a guy who's beaten, with the exception of Junior Tafa, you know, like the high level competition that people have stuck in front of him. Like he's got a win over Roque Martinez, who's a UFC vet. He beat Minowa Man in the very beginning of his career, I think it was the second fight he fought Minimal Man. And the thing I like about Sudario is that like he isn't somebody who just transitioned from the grappling world and is sort of just relied on his grappling. In fact, it seems like he's using his career in Ryzen to polish his striking so that when he transitions somewhere else, and hint, hint, I do think he's transitioning somewhere else. He's got a picture on his Instagram with him, his arm around Dana White in like all kinds of UFC gear. I think this is the last time you see him in Ryzen after this, because he's knocking people out. And he's using this time to work on his hands, not just by knocking people out, but you will see he throws, get this, he's a heavyweight who throws a jab. He's a heavyweight and throws a jab and moves his head. It's nuts. And it's crazy. Crazy. And we needed a sumo wrestler to finally be the one to do this.
But yeah, he did. Sumo. That's great.
Right. And you know, I really do think he's the real deal. I'd love to see him transition and fight some higher level competition. he is fighting a kickboxer here. So I, you know, like in the same kin that I worried about him fighting Junior Tafa, I worry that he'll just throw with a kickboxer for too long and not use his wrestling and not use his, or his sumo, I guess, not use his sumo.
Not use his sumo.
Which to be fair, like he does kind of, when he grapples, he does kind of use his sumo. It sort of looks like, it sort of looks like an offshoot of judo, right? Like sometimes you see judo you know, like use high body locks and trips and stuff. Right. He kind of does the same thing when he's in the clinch, and he does a damn good job of it, but he also knocks people silly. The fight, if you guys are on YouTube, or maybe I'll stick it in the Discord, he fights Saint Ilne. And in that fight with Saint Ilne, he throws one of the most vicious right hands I've ever seen and puts him out ice cold with a walk-off KO. So to see that off of a guy who comes from a grappling background, I love. And I just don't think Ueda is polished enough in mixing the different disciplines together. You know, like I think he's going to get tired out in the clinch with a sumo wrestler over time, or, you know, I actually think his defensive striking is quite a bit worse than Sudario. Sudario moves his head a lot better than Ueda does. So yeah, give me Sudario here all day.
All right. Sudario all day. And especially on New Year's Eve day or New Year's Eve morning, early morning. All right. Let's recap. Get out of your ears. We'll get back tomorrow with the second part of our Ryzen fight card. The card is too big for us to just do in one episode. Too many good fights. All right. Here are the picks. Sudario or Sanzo, depending on how he's listed. I think it's Sudario is how he shall be listed if you're looking to bet on him. Dodson. Morales is a slight dog. Ashizawa is a big dog. Bark, bark. And Tanabe, right?
That'll do.
Right. All right. Dan mentioned the Discord. He's going to put some clips in there. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. If you haven't gotten in there yet, getting in there now. We have lots of fun in there, and it's been quiet over the, since the Christmas break. So hopefully things will pick up soon. Now that people start ignoring their families again and start being degenerates with us. Twitter is SGP and MMA. Gumby runs that for us. He's like Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there. And on Instagram, you can check out my Substack. It is moneymma.substack.com. I got a lot of cool stuff planned for it for the new year. So jump in now while you can. Gumby has got Talk Turtle MMA podcast. Are you dropping one this week, or are you taking a rare week off?
We took a rare week off, but we will be back with some bangers in the new year. So,
all right. So always make sure you get Gumby in your ears. And all good things sports gambling related is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, including articles by Gumby and I every day of the week. At least one of us will have an article on there, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. So you can help us crush corporate gambling. We'll be back tomorrow with more Ryzen. It'll be me, Taka no Fuji, Sanzo Fox, and the magician Gumby Vreeland will be riding shotgun. Talk to you then.